ॐ भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the 7th canto, 8th chapter, text number 5. Here we have Lorna Sringadev doing some anger management, taking care of angry personality, Hiranyakashipu. So today we'll talk a little bit about anger and love and prayers by devotees, and then there'll be a surprise at the end. So if you stay for class, you get to see the surprise. Okay, so Sri Hiranyakashipu Vacha, He Dorvinita Manda Atman Kula Beda Kada Adama Stabdam Machasado Vritam Neshe Twadya Yama Kshayam Sri Hiranyakashipu Vacha He Durvinita Mandatman Kula Beda Karadama Stabdam Machasanod Ritam Neshe Twadyayam Akshayam Sri Hiranyakashipu Vacha He Durvinita Mandatman Kula Beda Karadama Stabdam Machasano Ritam Neshe Twadya Yamakshayam Please chant. Vaishnavis. Sri Sri Hiranyakashipu Vacha. The blessed Hiranyakashipu said, Durvinita, most impudent, Manda Atman, O stupid fool, Kula Beda Kara, who are bringing about a disruption in the family, Adama, O lowest of mankind, Stubdam, most obstinate, Matsasana, from my ruling, Urvitam, going astray, Neshe, I shall bring Twa, you, Adya, today, Yamakshayam, to the place of Yamaraj, the superintendent of death. Hiranyak, translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Hiranyakashipu said, O most impudent, most unintelligent disruptor of the family, O lowest of mankind, you have violated my power to rule you, and therefore you are an obstinate fool. Today I shall send you to the place of Yamaraj. Sorry. It comes naturally with me. Purport. Hiranyakashipu condemned his Vaishnav son Prahlad for being Durvinita, ungentle, uncivilized, or impudent. Srila Vishnava Chakravarti Thakur, however, has derived a meaning from this word, Durvinita. By the mercy of the goddess of learning, Saraswati, he got this meaning by her mercy. He says that Du refers to this material world. This is confirmed by Lord Krishna in his instruction in Bhagavad Gita that this material world is Dukhalayam, full of material conditions. So that's Du. And then V means Visesha, specifically. And Nita means brought in. So, by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, Prahlad Maharaj was especially brought to the material world to teach people how to get out of the material condition. So, that's how they translated that. Lord Krishna says, Yada yadahi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata, Bhagavad Gita 4:7. When the entire population, or part of it, becomes forgetful of its own duty, Krishna comes. When Krishna is not present, the devotee is present, but the mission is the same: to free the poor conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya that chastises them. Srila Vishnava Chakravarti Thakur further explains that the word mandatman means manda, very bad or very slow in spiritual realization. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.10, manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya. Prahlad Maharaj is the guide of all the mandas or bad living entities who are under the influence of Maya. He is the benefactor even of the slow and bad living entities in this mature world. So that's how they translated that. And then Kula Beda Karadama, by his actions, Prahlada Maharaj made great personalities who established big, big families seem insignificant. Everyone is interested in his own family and in making his dynasty famous. But Prahlada Maharaj was so liberal that he made no distinction between one living entity and another. Therefore, he was greater than the great Prajapatis who established their dynasties. Now, the word stabam means obstinate. A devotee does not care for the instructions of the asuras. When they give instructions, he remains silent. A devotee cares about the instructions of Krishna, not those of demons or non-devotees. He does not give any respect to a demon, even though the demon is his father. And then now another word, mach chasanod vritam. Prahlada Maharaj was disobedient to the orders of his demoniac father, and now yama kshayam. Every conditioned soul is under the control of Yamaraj. But Hiranyakashipu said that he considered Prahlada Maharaj his deliverer, for Prahlada would stop Hiranyakashipu's repetition of birth and death. Because Prahlada Maharaj, being a great devotee, was better than any yogi, Hiranyakashipu was to be brought among the society of bhakti yogis. Thus, Srila Vishnava Chakravarti Thakur has explained these words in a very interesting way, as they can be interpreted from the side of Sarasvati, the mother of learning. So here we are in the age of rage, Kali Yuga. The whole atmosphere is surcharged with this faithlessness. Men are no longer interested in spiritual values, and material sense gratification is the standard of living. So for the maintenance of their material civilizations, they've formed great dynasties, great cities, great nations and communities. And now, what is there? The result of this is just a constant strain of hot and cold wars. People angry at each other, ready to kill each other. So it's very difficult now in this age to raise the spiritual standard due to the influence of Kali. This, it's not so much the thing that's going wrong or the actual thing that's happening, but it's actually the influence of the age of Kali, age of quarrel. So many sages like Prahlada Maharaj, great yogi, the sages of Namasharanya, who are hearing their words because they're concerned about the citizens of this age. And we're warned through all the scriptures that this uncontrollable anger, it can destroy you. But it's so easy to be angry, isn't it? I mean, who can say they've never been angry? I mean, practically every moment, every time, every day, we're angry for about something. And we can express it in different ways. It's not that you have to be like an erupting volcano. But we actually show it in our behaviors. There's a nice quote by Aristotle. He said, to be angry at the right time, at the right person, and for the right reason, that's the difficulty. Otherwise, angry is very easy. And we know throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, we've seen so many wonderful stories of how anger was properly used. Through so many Vedic literatures, Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna properly used anger. Even in the Krishna book, Rohini used anger properly when she was concerned about Krishna being in a proper, safe place. Mother Yasoda tied him up to a mortar. And just so happened, the trees fell. Why did you put him in this place, a dangerous place? Can't you look and see first? So she was angry like that. But we know what actually happened. So we can see Hiranyakashipu is so angry here. He's frustrated. This is one of the causes of anger, is frustration. He wanted to be the controller of the entire universe, and he practically achieved it. But he couldn't control his five-year-old son. So therefore he became frustrated and angry and ready to kill him. And we can hear his words. Other causes, like we feel hurt, somebody hurts us, they do something immediately, we respond with anger. Or if we're fearful or insecure, we respond with anger. But to respond with anger is not really proper. But we should respond with like a confession, actually. You hurt me. Instead of becoming angry, actually tell him why you're angry. What caused you to get angry? You hurt me. And then, you know, someone could say, oh, I'm sorry, I hurt you. Instead of just like, you know, biting back. There's a nice quote that says, you'll never be persuasive if you are abrasive. We expect people to get change or want to get even with people. Become angry at your children to control them. But that doesn't really seem to help. Another quote is like, it's not what you say, but it's how you say it. Look at the tone of voice of Hiranyakashipu. You know, it's how he's saying, he's showing his hate. But he's not even aware, practically. They say they did some anatomy with the frog, and the scientists understood the frog. How the frog, he makes such an obnoxious sound, isn't it? And these glands kind of vibrate or something. But the same gland, it covers his ears somehow, so he can't even hear himself. He doesn't even know how obnoxious he is. Probably if he could hear it, he probably couldn't live with it. It's so obnoxious. So sometimes we are not aware of our own anger and how obnoxious it is. They say you always lose if you lose your anger. What do you lose? There's so many things you could lose. You know, families are broken, relationships are broken, so many different things. It's even said that you lose 50% of your intelligence when you become angry. So you can see what a crazy thing Hiranyakashipu is going to do. Kill his own son, who just recently just smelled his head, showing love, so-called love for his son. What else do you lose? You lose your health. Angry, you know, it's not, even though you may feel I'm very healthy, I'm strong, I eat right, I eat good. But if you become angry, it will eat you from the inside out. So we have to be careful, you know, before we put our mouth in gear, that we have to actually put our mind in gear. If you put your foot in your mouth, you know, it's too late. But if you actually, if your mouth is closed, you can't put your foot in your mouth. And anger is contagious. You can see, it's like, you know, today, every movie, every TV show, everything, it shows violence, anger. And what do you think? How do you expect, you know, to have a peaceful, loving society when people are angry and it's actually contagious? There were some studies did about 5 years ago that there was 40 million wives beaten by their husbands. And there's 10 million children were beaten by their parents. Just see what Hiranyakashipu started. No, he was like the original. So you see, what comes in is what goes out. So we have to pray. We have to pray for that we're filled with peace in our hearts. We have to pray for love, for patience. And the best prayer we've been given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to cleanse the mirror of the heart with the holy names. That's the only thing, that's the only prayer that can actually kick out all this bad filth. That's the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because you see, if you will put your foot in your mouth, people are going to see where you're at. I mean, if you know, you're going to put your foot in your mouth. So you're going to judge a person by what they say. The tongue will reveal what kind of heart you have. They say that if someone has a harsh tongue, that means that they have an angry heart. That if we or someone else has a negative tongue, it means you have a fearful heart. And if you have a boastful tongue, that's an insecure heart. If you have a judgmental tongue, that means you're guilty. If you're critical, then you're very bitter heart. A filthy tongue shows an impure heart. But if you have a tongue or you have words coming out of your mouth that are encouraging, you speak well of people, you don't label people, criticize people, but you talk about what they could be and what they would be, then that person is a happy heart. This is what we see. Prahlad Maharaj was doing that to his young boyfriends in school. He wasn't critical, criticizing them. He was actually telling them what you could be, what you could attain. If someone has very gentle words, it means that they have a very loving heart. And if someone speaks in a very controlled way, he has a peaceful heart. In the play we've seen the Gurukul children give, there's one part, it always struck me as very funny, but made a lot of sense. There was Ajaya was acting in this play. And he's like, Prahlad, why are you so happy and peaceful? And, you know, smiling like that. He's, you know, the demon friends were saying that. Because he has a very peaceful heart. He's a very kind heart. There's a nice quote that a person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled, but is always still, can alone achieve peace, not the man who strives to satisfy his desires. So we have desires, they come in like waters going, like rivers going into the ocean. But the ocean remains steady in its activity. So similarly, a proof of a Krishna conscious man is that he is not disturbed by desires for sense gratification. Even though there's so many that come, even though his inclination is for them. But he's just completely satisfied in loving service to Krishna. So this is our purpose, is to love Krishna. Krishna comes in different forms. Prabhupada was asked one time in a lecture, or an interview, I think it was. He said, why have you come here? We don't need any more religions. What do you want to give? Prabhupada said, I've not come to give you anything. I've just come to remind you what you have forgotten. And that's to love Krishna. So Krishna manifests himself anywhere and everywhere. Wherever he desires to appear. Even sometimes he'll send his representatives. But the mission, as we read in the purport today, is the same. Is to lead people to God consciousness and obedience to the principles of religion. Brahmate, brahmate, yadi sadhu sangi paya. Saba chai tabe, tinho ksusere bhajaya. The living entities are wandering in different species of life on different planets. But if by chance they get the association of a pure devotee, a sadhu, they give up all other engagements and engage in Lord Krishna's service. And here's some examples of the sages at Naimisharanya. They're saying, O Sutta, those great sages who have completely taken shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, at once sanctify those who come in touch with them. Whereas the waters of the Ganges can sanctify only after prolonged use. And we can see this is how the words were turned around, how Hiranyakashipu was chastising his son. But actually his son was helping him just by his association there. These pure devotees, they're more powerful than the waters of the sacred Ganges. You know, the sacred Ganges, they say you get purified by a continuous use, prolonged use. But you can be at once sanctified by the mercy of a pure devotee. Because their only business is to serve Krishna. And they're honored by names of Prabhupada, Vishnupad, like that. So we have such a Prabhupada here, and we're very fortunate. This another, these sages, they realize and they give the vision of this age. O learned one, in the age of Kali, in this iron age of Kali, men have but short lives. They are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. So therefore the devotees, they're always anxious. As we can see, these sages, they're concerned about them. They're concerned about the spiritual improvement of the public in general. Because they know that human life is the means to end all the miseries of this hard struggle here. But why is it? It's due to a bad system of education. And Prahlad Maharaj knew this. So therefore he was very concerned. And he didn't want his friends to become victims of these misguided teachers. And here's what Prahlad Maharaj says, we'll find out in a future chapter. O my Lord, best of the givers of benediction, if you at all want to bestow a desirable benediction upon me, then I pray from your Lordship that within the core of my heart there will be no material desires. This is like Lord Chaitanya prayed in the verse Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim. That I don't want any amount of wealth, followers, beautiful wife, materialistic desires. But if you want to ask some benediction from me, then I pray that whatever form of life I may take, no matter what circumstances, that I will not be bereft of your devotional service. So this is a great desire. This is not a material desire. And here another prayer by Prahlad Maharaj. My dear Lord Nisringadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance, not caring for the big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet. Is that love or what? The love of a pure devotee. This is his decision. The devotee makes this decision that he has no problem, but is willing to make the decision to stay in the material world just out of love for these dull people that are in a hellish situation. Prabhupada writes a very nice purport about how the devotees, they're interested in the busiest part of the world to teach Krishna consciousness. They're like Prahlad Maharaj, they're not interested in bluff spiritual advancement. Rather, he's interested in enlightening people in Krishna consciousness because that is a way for them to be happy. Prabhupada said, every member of the Krishna consciousness movement is interested in going door to door to try to convince people about the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement must be fully convinced that without Krishna, one cannot be happy. So see, this is the devotees. They're only interested in pleasing, loving Krishna, and loving everyone else. This King Parikshit, this is what he said. Here's a prayer by King Parikshit. I pray that if I should again take my birth in this mature world, I will have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna, associate with his devotees, and friendly relations with all living beings. Of course, we know Maharaj Parikshit is going to go back to Godhead, but he prayed for a pattern of life which is the most perfect way to live in the material world. He prefers the association of a petty devotee, a petty living being, provided that is a devotee of Krishna. Even Lord Ram, he went through so much to get Sita back because he loved her so much. But yet, and then one time Sita was sitting with him and she said, "Ram, do you love me?" He said, "Of course I love you. I love you very much. But more than love for you, I love the citizens." This was Ram's love. And he actually had to give up Sita for the citizens, as we know the story. And Prabhupada was one time with one of his disciples, Burijan Prabhu. I think they're waiting somewhere to be picked up to go to a preaching program, and they were just there by themselves. And there wasn't nobody there. It's not like Prabhupada was saying this in front of a big crowd or anything, but he looked at Burijan Prabhu and he said, "My desire is that all living beings in the universe go back to Godhead. You please help me in this desire." So this is what Burijan wrote in his book, My Glorious Master. That was in 1972 when Prabhupada said that. So we have to do something. Love is an action. It's not an emotion. It's like we may not feel like going out on sankirtan. We may not feel like preaching to somebody. We may not feel like loving somebody. But you act your way into a feeling. It's not that you feel your way into an action. So it's a skill, actually. Love is a skill. It has to be practiced. How do you practice it unless you practice it on somebody that's unlovable? You think Prahlad Maharaj's father was lovable in that position? But yet, look at Prahlad Maharaj. He loved him. So we could try it. We have to try it. They say if you try something for a month, what is it, 31 days, 21 days, something like that, you can make it a habit. And you will consistently love everyone. So Prabhupada also says here, if you work cooperatively, you will get more strength. But he also warned, "Now all my disciples must work combinedly and with cooperation to spread this sankirtan movement. If you cannot work together, then my work is stopped up. Our society is like one big family, and our relationships should be based on love and trust." I don't know, somebody said that. I think in the future, if we actually hold tight to Prabhupada's instructions, that it will be noted by the historians that how this Krishna consciousness movement saved the world in its hour of darkest despair. Here's another prayer. This is by on a Vyasa Puja offering by one of Prabhupada's disciples. Prabhupada, he said, "Prabhupada, we need to feel genuine pain in our hearts when we see the sufferings and struggles of others in this world, as do you. We need to love others and be willing to give our lives to help them, as do you. We need to feel Krishna's presence in every moment and see his influence in the hearts of all living beings, as do you." That's one part of Anuttama's Vyasa Puja offering to Srila Prabhupada. So this love is a very serious issue. This is an issue in which our whole life will be evaluated. It will be considered whether we have passed or failed life, actually. And it's the reason why we've been put here, actually, to love. We're given a chance to love Krishna, to love other people. It's the criterion by which we'll be judged. It's not like some extracurricular activity that we do. It's a part-time job, or it's not my style, you know, to love. It's not something you do part-time, but it's something that should be done all the time. Everything else, actually, but love is peripheral. And then at the time of death, we'll be so grateful because we'll be surrounded by people who love us. And then the devotees will chant Hare Krishna, the most wonderful prayer, and they'll speed our way back home, back to Godhead. Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So there was a surprise, and got a few minutes. This is about maybe 5 minutes. And this was from a play given by the Gurukul kids here in New Dwarka. And it was my fortune that my two boys were in this play. And I'm just going to go to the part where this chapter actually starts. They're actually enacting Hiranyakashipu's anger and what happened to Hiranyakashipu, as we'll see. It's very dramatically played here. So you can just listen. If we had a screen, but it would be nice to plug it in to see it. But anyway, I'll just do the recording. You could hear it.